Six-Figure Developer Podcast. My name is John Calloway.
And I'm Clayton Hunt.
And today we have with us John Sonmez. John is author of Soft Skills. He's also the creator of Simple Programmer. And he's been effectively retired since the age of 33. Welcome, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, John, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started in software development, and how your career progressed from there.
Sure. So what it's been sort of a weird journey. I never expected that I'd be doing video mostly and writing, especially since that was not what I initially signed up for. But it's been fun. It's been interesting. What I do now is I basically teach software developers how to be cool. That's what I tell people at cocktail parties. But what it really means is I do self-development for software developers. So I help software developers to really live better lives in all areas of their lives, especially in the non-technical areas. So this encompasses pretty much everything you can think of in self-development, personal development, thinking about really how can I help software developers to expand beyond their technical boundaries in life and to really maximize their potential in life, because that's what I'm about. And really there was no one doing this. And so this is something that just I'm passionate about that I feel like there's a need for, and that seems to work well. I don't know, how do I get down this path? I started out as a regular software developer. I always wanted to be a game developer. That's how I first became a software developer. And, like most software developers, I didn't end up writing games. way back when I ended up downloading a MUD, that this was way back in the BBS and Telnet days. And I downloaded the source code, and that's sort of how I taught myself C, was this Deku MUD source code, programming it, making changes to it so I could create my own MUD. And ever since then, I really was just enthralled with the idea of software development, and just because I think mostly because of the challenge that it presents. And it's one of those unique things in life where you actually get to create something that you truly create. And so that drew me to it. And so I had a career as a software developer for about 15 years, and I did pretty well. Towards the end of my career, I sort of figured out the secrets to success, which were not technical skills. Everything I was focusing on, it was the soft skills. It was marketing myself, building a brand. It was getting communication skills and people skills and all of those things. And so that sort of naturally transitioned into what I'm doing now. Is that I saw the value of that. I started teaching those things. I started to realize that not only was this super effective for me, but it was really helping the other people that I was preaching this new gospel to. And I basically transitioned into that. And so that's what I do full time now. That's sort of the abbreviated story of it.
So that's how your book Soft Skills came to be then. Is that did that evolve from that, those first ideas of growing your career and helping those individuals, or how did that whole process come to be for Soft Skills?
Yeah, so that was an interesting one. It was sort of happening. I did a lot of technical training. I did 55 courses for Pluralsight, and I was very much on the technical side of it. But the opportunities that led me to get the opportunity, or the circumstances which led me to the opportunities with Pluralsight were me creating a blog, doing podcasts, doing interviews, right, doing promotion and branding. And so I had created a course on how to market yourself, and I started teaching, doing talks on marketing yourself, and really doing more soft skills type of content. And that was getting super popular. And so Manning had approached me about writing a book, and they said, okay, if you've got a pretty big audience, you can, whatever you want to write a book on, we'll publish it, because we know it'll do well, just because of the, and that's how publishers work today, by the way, for anyone that's interested, is it's no longer the idea. It's if you've got an audience, you can they'll publish you a book, because that's what's going to sell. That's how it works. So essentially they said, oh, you know, you've done a lot of courses on like Android development, iOS development and stuff. Do you want to do an Android course, an iOS course? And I said, no. If I'm going to do something, I want it to be evergreen. Like, I don't want to write a book and then, because you're not making money off a book. You know, I was like, you know, I know this. I'm no fool, right? You know, I'm not going to make money off of a book. Even if it does really well, you're usually not going to make much money off of a book. So I said, if I'm going to write a book, I don't want something that's going to last for like 2 years and then has to be updated or, you know, if even then. I mean, some people write books and by the time that they're finished writing the book, the technology's moved and they have to make a revision. They're doing second edition before first edition publish, right? So I said, okay, here's what my idea is. I said, if I'm going to write a book, it is going to be an evergreen book that is going to be like a book like no one's ever seen in the software development field before, that is going to be completely soft skills and completely based on like this holistic idea of self-development for software developers. And surprisingly, the acquisitions editor at Manning, he said, you know what? That's a fantastic idea. I love that. And he pitched it, and the publisher said, sure, let's do it. Let's give it a shot. And so that's how that came to be.
I recently moved to Florida about a year and a half ago and actually listened to the book twice in back to back on the drive down to Florida. So I really enjoyed the topics, really enjoyed, you know, everything from ideas about software and career to health and fitness to finance and investment. Really kind of covered the entire gamut.
Yeah, it was fun doing the audio version of that. I mean, I say it's fun, but it's a lot of work. Because it's a long book, right? It's like a 500-page book. So it was, and I recorded the whole audio in, I think, 1 week because I had this very strict time. I had to travel. I was going somewhere. And wow, I didn't realize how much work it is to record. I mean, I was basically recording like 6-7 hours a day for like an entire week to get that book done.
One of the things that I really liked about the audiobook is that you threw in some extra little bits. You actually like paused the book and had an aside, kind of like bonus content. Did you just do that on the spur of the moment, or did you plan that ahead of time?
So a little bit of both. So I didn't plan where I was going to do the asides, but I planned on doing asides, right? I figured I listened to a lot of audiobooks. I listened to like probably 2 or 3 a week. I run like 40 miles a week, so I'm listening on 3x speed on Audible. But I really liked it when authors did asides like that, where they went off the script and made it a less formal tone and you know, and also just talked about stuff that might have changed since the book was published. So I really liked that idea. So I said, okay, well, if I'm doing an audio version of the book, I'm doing this as well. And so I basically just read the book as I read it out loud. And if there was something that I felt like I needed to add more or something that interested me to go off on a little bit of side tangent, then I just went with it and did that.
I thoroughly enjoyed those. Actually, everybody who I tried to get to read the book, I actually recommended that they purchase the Audible book and buy the book.
Oh, cool. Well, I appreciate that.
In the soft skills book, and I think on numerous blog posts and YouTube videos, you're a big proponent for setting goals and setting timelines and really holding yourself accountable to those things. What was the writing process like for the first book, for the writing as well as for the audio recording?
It was very different between, so I just finished, I'm getting ready to launch my new book, and there's a very different process between the two. Well, I say very different, but it's not like super, super different. So when I did the first book, Soft Skills, what had happened was my publisher, Manning, they had said, okay, well, how long do you need to write this book? And I said, well, you know, I kind of estimated how many chapters there were and how many words there would be. And I said, it looks like I could probably do this in about 3 months. And they said, wait a minute. You want to write like what's going to be about a 500-page book in 3 months? I don't think so, buddy. Like, it's probably going to take us about a year is what you're going to be writing. And then I said, no. I mean, I manage my time. Like, I don't think you guys understand. Like, I'll be writing about this, but I manage my time really well. Like, I use a Pomodoro technique, and I know how long something will take me. Like, when I tell you 3 months, I've got a pretty good estimate. Like, I know it sounded like I just kind of wagging that, but I'm pretty confident in this. Like, I know what my quotas are, and I operate on quotas. And so they're like, okay, well, you know, go ahead and try, but, you know, we'll give you 6 months or so. And so, I mean, my basic process, like I usually schedule my year with quarterly projects, right? And so I had for Q3 of that year, what the plan was to write the book. And so most of what I did, like the first thing I did every day was I wrote in the book, and I did like, I think I was doing like 6 Pomodori per day of writing of the book. And I just, I had it planned out, all the chapters planned out ahead of time. And then when it was time to write, I just sat down and cranked out my 6 Pomodori, and I pretty much did that every single day for a little under 3 months. I think it took me 2.5 months to write the entire book. It was about 150,000 words, I think is what it came to. So I can't remember exactly how I'd spaced it out, but I was hitting somewhere around like 3,000-4,000 words a day on most of the days. And that's pretty much how I did it. Now, and that was writing that book. And so yeah, compressed timeline, right? 3 months. And then for the second book, for the Complete Software Developer's Career Guide, which I just finished in December, but I've been spending the last 6 months launching it because it's self-published, is I followed a similar process. What I did was I sat down every morning. So I started this in June of 2016, and I finished it around the end of December of 2016. And what I did was every single morning, I did 2 Pomodori on the book. So the very first thing I did every single morning, every single day, I think I might have missed like one day out of 6 months, is I wrote for an hour, and I wrote about, you know, 1,500 to 2,000 words on most days is what it came down to, trying to hit a minimum of about 1,000 words, and just did that every single day. And the book, and that's an even longer book. That's it. I just got the final page count from the layout person, and it's right under 800 pages. So it's like 200 and something thousand words. It's a lot of content in there. So yeah.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk about the Complete Software Developer's Career Guide. How does that differ from soft skills? Is there just more content? Why don't you tell the listeners at home what they can look forward to?
The best way to describe, like comparing it to, if you've read soft skills, the section one in soft skills on career, that was a really popular section. That was the most popular, universally popular section, right? Because some people would read the fitness section and they'd say, oh, John doesn't know what he's talking about, or I don't need fitness. Or some people would read the finance section and say, oh, no, John Dunn doesn't know what he's talking about. This guy, he's telling you all kinds of crazy stuff, invest in real estate. Oh, yeah, he's full of crap. So, but everyone pretty consistently was like, okay, the career section is really good. I wish I had more of this. So that was sort of where the idea came from, right? And not to knock my own book. I think my fitness and finance section and soft skills is great. I think, you know, but it wasn't everyone's cup of tea, right? So so basically soft skills is really the software developer's life manual, meaning your whole entire life. Let's get you straight. Like, let's figure out, you know, like finances, let's figure out productivity, let's figure out your career, let's figure out how to market yourself, let's figure out the fitness and then the spiritual mindset type of thing. But this book, The Complete Software Developer's Career Guide, is like section one of soft skills expanded out like to an 800 page book, right? And it's all new content. None of it's like repeat content. I think a lot of people were worried that would be the case. But the idea behind this book was essentially, I wanted to create what I perceived as the book that every single software developer would have on their bookshelf, that there's no reason why you wouldn't own this book. I wanted to make what will eventually be the best-selling software development book of all time. That was the goal for this book. And I wanted it to be just extremely, extremely valuable. I wanted to cover everything that I could that was soft skill related to a software developer's career. So the book is basically broken up into 5 sections with that. I brainstormed every topic I could think of, all the questions. I mean, I get hundreds of questions per week on my YouTube channel and blog and stuff. So I've got a ton of like reference material. I know what people are asking, what they want to know, right? So I said, okay, let me divide this up. And so the book is broken up. So the first section of the book is how to get started as a software developer. So it's all those questions like, you know, what programming language should I learn? How do I learn a programming language? Should I go to college or boot camp or self-taught, right? And then, so that's that whole section for getting started. Then the next section of the book is how to get a job, whether it be your first job with no experience, or whether you're an experienced developer trying to get a job, and everything that I can, you know, everything from negotiating a salary to what to wear to an interview to all that kind of stuff, how to create a resume, how to best do your job search, all of that in there. And then the third section is all the technical, all the skills you need to know as a software developer. So I included this section because I felt like a lot of developers didn't know what they needed to know. And so this is basically an overview without going into the technical content of things like, okay, you need to know source control. Here's what the basics of it is. Or continuous integration, test-driven development, testing basics, you know, trying to think what else, debugging basics, like all the things. What is web development? What's back-end development? What is mobile development? Right. What is a little bit of database, a little bit of DevOps? So all of those things, if you could come up with that list, that's what I came up with that. And then the fourth section is working as a software developer. So this is the kind of stuff that I don't think I've seen anywhere else, which is like, how do you deal with your boss as a software developer? How do you deal with your coworkers? What about that annoying coworker that won't shut up and you put the headphones in and they still don't shut up, right? And it's like, you know, micromanaging bosses. Discrimination and prejudice, right? I got a lot of requests from women that follow my channel that said, hey, I want a women in tech chapter in this book. So I put one in there, and it's a ballsy chapter. Like, I think I'm gonna get a lot of hate for that one, but it's my honest opinion from counseling and coaching a lot of women in tech on what will work the best, and men on that side. And so it contains all of that kind of working, how to dress, right, in your job. So it contains all that working type of stuff as a software developer, and then how to like do performance reviews and raises and get a raise and all that. And then the final section is how to advance your career. So this is where some of the stuff that you might be familiar with, soft skills on building a blog, on marketing yourself and getting your name out there and branding. But I include more stuff like how to speak at conferences, how to get started doing that, all that kind of stuff to take your career to the next level. So, you know, it's a lot. That's why it's 800 pages, because it's really designed to be A to Z, cover everything that you would need to know as a software developer. And it's written in the same kind of tone and same kind of language. And there's a ton of humor. And I mean, this is not going to be a dry read at all. Like you will find some entertainment within the book, I promise you, of 800 pages. I mean, and I did it the same way, right? Because the soft skills, I felt like that formula worked so well, because it was broken into those small chapters, because it was written in such a kind of lighthearted, jovial, kind of humorous way. And I took that exact same writing and I put it into this book, so that you can actually get through a book that's 800 pages on career and actually like want to turn the next page to see what's going to happen.
On everyone's bookshelf, we'll have Soft Skills, The Complete Software Developer's Career Guide, Code Complete 2, Clean Code, and The Clean Coder, right?
There we go. That would be my vision for the future.
So you were kind enough to provide early drafts of the book for us to kind of prep and go through to pick out some topics. I think maybe the third section on technical skills is really part of what I really I think more emphasis needs to be taken on with developers in their career, and you know, determining what you need to know and getting the basics out of that. Do you want to speak more to that?
So yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that there's a base level of knowledge that the reason why I created that section of the book was because I felt like it's very overwhelming today to become a software developer, especially a web developer, right? Because I was joking with someone, I was like, okay, well, because they're saying, oh, well, you know, doctor and lawyer, that's a much harder job than web developer. And I'm like, No, sorry. I just have to say web developer is the most difficult job in the world. Like, at least that I can think. Maybe astronaut is more difficult with what you have to know. But honestly, like, you have to know, like, just think of just what a web developer basic, a junior web developer has to know. At the minimum, they have to understand how the web works. They have to know what HTML is. They have to know CSS. They have to know some XML to understand HTML, right? And then that breaks their brain anyway, because it doesn't actually fall into XML, right? They have to know JavaScript. They have to know some kind of server-side programming language. They have to know a client-side framework, right? They have to know a development language and an IDE. I mean, there's like, we could just go on and on, right? So many things that you have to know just to do some basic web development. And that's just at a basic level. That doesn't even include knowing how to test code, or what unit testing is, or best practices, or who's not using continuous integration now, and who's not using source control now, right? You got to know how to check stuff in and check stuff out, right? And you got to know what the build is and how not to break the build. And so there's just like a ton of stuff just to get the basic, most basic development job, right? And so I felt like there was no place where you could get all this information. And I kept getting these questions from people, especially on YouTube, that were getting very frustrated with trying to become software developers, because there's no place to know exactly what it is you need to know. So what I wanted to do was, I say I created a short guide. I mean, the book is long and that section is long, but I created short chapters on every single one of those things just to give you the information to say, okay, look, if you go through this whole section of the book, you will have a basic idea of every single major concept in software development today, from methodology to source control to everything, and you'll basically understand that stuff, and you can go and find more information later, but that'll be enough to actually have that, the it's like climbing up the mountain and looking over the landscape and saying, okay, I see, that's, and seeing the whole landscape, and that was the kind of idea behind that. But I feel like so many developers don't have that today, and it really hurts them, because if you don't know anything about debugging and you don't know anything about testing, you're going to have a lot of problems when you get your first real developer job, or some developers have been going for a long time and they don't know about any of these they don't know what they don't know, and that's a huge problem.
You mentioned testing. We're big proponents of clean code and test driven development. So when you speak of testing, are you referring to just the basic ability to understand how to test an application, whether it be manually or actually knowing the basics of how to write unit tests, how to write integration tests, test-driven development, BDD, any kind of practice in that manner?
So both, and I separate them out, right? So I'm a big fan of Steve McConnell's classification of it way back in Code Complete, where he's like, unit testing is an appraisal activity. And that's what I firmly believe. So I don't even call unit testing and that kind of testing. I call it an appraisal activity. It's when you're building it's part of the design of the software when you're building the software. So I try to separate that out. But I think both are valuable and important, right? The understanding the basics of how testing and QA is done is really important, because you're going to work with QA. In fact, today, developers are, it used to be that we used to just say, okay, here's my code, and you throw it over the wall, and then QA sends you back a bunch of bugs, and then you fix those. But that's not how it is on agile projects, right? It doesn't work that way, because you have to be able to iterate within the iteration effectively, right? You can't just fix the bugs, and a lot of teams do this, right? What they do is they're still stuck in that methodology because the developers don't understand testing, and so they sort of do these sprints out of sync where they essentially throw it over the wall, and you're not actually done with the sprint because you finish coding it, and then the next week you're debugging stuff that you wrote the last week, and it becomes this whole big mess. And so the problem lies in that developers don't understand the QA process and what's going on and what testing is, and they don't know how to test their own stuff. So that's important. But at the same token, the test-driven development and unit testing and behavior-driven development, all those concepts are really important for a developer to write good, clean code. If you don't have that concept, I feel like that you're going to be lacking in the ability to actually do your job as a developer. So, and all these things now have become base-level expectations, right? If I'm hiring, and this is another reason why so many developers, they complain to me and they say, hey, John, you say there's all these companies that say that they're looking for developers and they can't find developers to hire. And that's BS, man. I can't find a job. No one will hire me. And my answer is because every single company, like the base level of what they want is so high now that most developers don't even hit that, right? So it's not that, the reason why so many developers are out there and can't find jobs, if there's so many jobs that can't find developers, is simply because that most companies now and most development positions want such a high base level of skill that it excludes a majority. So knowing this stuff is going to put you up there in that expectation level, right? Because if you go to the job interview and you don't know anything about QA and testing, and software development lifecycle, and you don't know anything about unit testing or BDD, you're like, what is BDD? You've been eliminated right there because everyone wants a rock star.
We've been interviewing quite rapidly where I work, and we've gone through, I think we did the math, it's 100 candidates in a little under a year.
Wow.
And we hired 2. And it's simply because, and I don't think that our interview is too difficult, but we expect them to know some REST principles, object-oriented programming, and we expect them to be able to write some really, really simple code on a whiteboard. And I know there's mixed feelings about the whiteboard coding, but I don't personally think that what we're asking them to do is too difficult. But it's a shockingly low number of candidates that we get that can actually do those things.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny, I mean, the whiteboard coding, it's so funny because I get into this debate all the time, and it's like, look, here's the thing. Interviews are actually asking you to write code on a whiteboard. Does it make sense? I don't know. I don't give a shit. It doesn't really matter if it makes sense or not. They're asking you to do it. You know that they're going to ask you to do this. You know there's a high probability. It's a skill that you can acquire, just like studying for the SAT. So, you know, do you go into the SAT and say, no, I want to take it blind, man. I don't want to do an SAT prep course because that's not an actual reflection of my ability to succeed in college. No, you go to the SAT prep course and you ace your SATs because you know you study for the test. So same thing here, right? I mean, it's like, is it really useful? Is it a really useful test to whiteboard interview people? I don't know. It's useful in the fact that you know what you're supposed to do this, and you're going to do this. And if you haven't figured out how to do this and given yourself that skill, you're not prepared. And so that gives an indication about a person, right? So in that way, I think it's useful. So you know, the whole debate of whether it's actually proving someone's technical competency, I don't care. I'm not even going to put a dog in that fight. But I'll put a dog in the fight of, hey, look, you know that you're likely to be asked this. It's simple to like prepare for this. So if you haven't done it, then don't whine to me and say, oh, I can't get a job. Well, take it, you know, do that, get that ability, and then we'll talk. But yeah, it's funny how people get so bent out of shape about this. And you can learn the skill. In fact, in the Complete Software Developer's Career Guide, I just finished putting a bonus. So within the book, one thing I did for the promotion is I put together this huge bundle of like, I don't know, a couple hundred dollars worth of bonus courses that I'm putting exclusively for the book. And one of the things I did was do a whiteboard coding and show you an example of how to do and teach you an exact process, step-by-step process on how to do this so you can't claim ignorance anymore because it's not that hard. Like, you just have to practice it just like any other skill.
Totally agree. This book is going to be available in paperback though also, right?
Yeah. So I'm working on the layout. Right now, it'll probably be going out through CreateSpace, and it'll be a soft copy book. I'm pushing right up against the CreateSpace limit of like 800-something pages. So I'm working with a hired... The layout person is got the... I got a draft of the book. And so the plan really is this with the book, is on launch day, which will be... This will be July 19th. We'll be launching both the paperback and the Kindle version simultaneously. I don't know what the paperback pricing will be. It'll be low. The Kindle version, I'm selling for 99 cents for that launch day because the goal is, like I said, is to be number one in all of Amazon for books sold that day and possibly forever for biggest launch. So like we're looking at numbers that say maybe we could do this. Maybe we could sell like 100,000 copies of the book on the first day. I don't know. We'll see, but definitely going to try and nail the number one slot on Amazon for that day. And so the paperback will come out simultaneously as well. And that one will probably be around the $10 range. It'll probably be discounted pretty severely as well. The MSRP on the paperback is like $30. So I'm going to be trying to make it as low as possible because I'm not making any money off of the books on launch day. You know, basically, it's basically just a play to try and get it as many hands as possible. So that's the plan. And after launch, then the prices will go to normal. The Kindle will be $10 and the soft copy will be $30. And then once things die down a little bit and I get some time to, you know, to regain my sanity, I'll start recording the audiobook. And that one will eventually come out. And then I'm thinking about possibly doing a video course on this one. That would be kind of the big whole package, but I'm not entirely sure. But you can definitely count on there being an audiobook coming out for sure, because I love that format and that does well. And it'll be perfect for this book because it's a non-technical book. And then there is, if this book does as well as I'm hoping, I'm planning on, I'd love to have a hard copy version of the book. Like I've got, the viewers or the listeners can't see it, but one of my buddies, Elliot Hulse, did this really nice, I think, just solid hard copy book. So I'd love to make like a real premium version of the book that you could sit on your shelf and be like, here you go, youngin. Here is the complete software developer's career guide. Bam, and slap that down on their desk with some gold leaf pages, stuff like that. So,
well, John, did you have any final words of wisdom that you wanted to share with our listeners? Any life lessons or mottos to live by?
Huh. I think I'm gonna go with my old staple. I'm gonna go with trust the process, and I'll briefly explain what that means, which is basically, stop looking at the results in life. Stop constantly looking and stop thinking that you have direct control of the results, because you do not have direct control over any results in your life, but you do have indirect control. And the way that you have indirect control over the results is that you figure out a good process for whatever you want to accomplish in life, whatever you want to do. There's no guarantees, but if you trust the process and you repeat the process and you have faith in the process and you divorce the process from the results and you just focus on doing what you're supposed to do. I want to learn how to juggle. Damn it, I'm going to throw those balls up in the air 1,000 times. All right, then the results will come, and it'll come in a lot less stress. And that's all that we could ever do in life anyway. So if you really want to succeed, if you don't want to be discouraged, come up with the process, trust the process. And the results either take care of themselves or they don't. But that's the best that you can do. Wishing and hoping and agonizing over the results doesn't move the needle. It doesn't make your bank account increase. It doesn't make your website visits go up. It doesn't right. Doing action and following a process, that's what makes the results eventually come.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks guys.
That was John Sonmez, author of Soft Skills. And looking for the release of Complete Software Developer's Career Guide later this month. This has been the Six Figure Developer Podcast. I am John Calloway.
And I'm Clayton Hunt.